Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
We all right?
I'm good.
Everyone okay?
I think
ropey's probably the word, isn't it?
Indeed.
Ropey's maybe a bit soft, Tim. I think I could do some urgent medical attention.
Well, as much energy as you can muster right now. Hands in and pod on three. 1, 2, 3.
Pod!
We might not have a medical team at our side, but we have called for reinforcements. So we've got the usual JB.
Good day, Tim.
We've got the usual Phil.
Hi, Tim.
I'm Tim. And we have, I mean, he's been mentioned many times on the podcast. He's featured, he's stood in for me and Phil before on the podcast.
Yeah.
Bryn Williams.
Yeah.
Barbarian.
Bryn Williams.
He was also in the episode where the average height of the podcast team was 7'5". Bryn, myself, and Martin Bayfield.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Bryn, get that microphone a bit closer to you, mate. You all right?
Yeah, good. Thanks, guys.
So we should probably just explain why and apologise in advance why this podcast might... the energy might drop at times because we had Phil's 30th birthday party last night.
Indeed.
Thanks for coming. It was a rum-tasting event.
Ideal for pirates and Navy sailors.
Yeah. I thought it was all right. It was quite good fun.
Indeed.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
That third room was amazing as well.
It was. And then we ended up in... So we went from Phil's 30th party to a under-18s party.
Yeah, it was.
We went to a club that I've never felt so old.
Yeah.
We saw three girls walking in, and me, Tim and Bryn are on the way in, and collectively, almost at the same time, went, are they 12? At least they're not going to where we're going. No, they are.
No,
they are.
Yeah, and then I think they were dressed up as Mario and Luigi.
Yeah.
And I think Bryn, you just went, these aren't our people, lads.
No.
And
the bouncer on the way in even said that you coming in all
that's
time.
That's Jules here.
He called us old timers on the way in.
Nothing really makes you feel 30 than going to somewhere like that.
Yeah, don't go to factory again.
Well, we watched plenty of rugby over the weekend as well, and there is a lot to talk about, so let's get straight into it. Let's talk about that Aviva Premiership final.
Do we have to?
Well, what was it? Yeah, I know this is the one and only time JB would rather talk about the Pro 12 than
the Pro 12
Premiership.
They're the final this week. The accumulation of a wonderful season in the Pro 12.
All right, we'll talk about the Pro 12
yeah,
then.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
What a great season for Edinburgh.
Amazing. Absolutely outstanding.
Glasgow.
Oh, my word. Seriously.
What a start.
Do you want to hear Alistair Kellogg and what he had to say?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Oh, what an incredible feeling. We've worked incredibly hard over the years to put ourselves in a position where we're competing with the best teams in this league. We've now taken another step forward. We are beating the best teams in this league. That was huge for us tonight. That's a very good Munster team. Obviously, a lot of emotion flying around for them as well, with Paul moving on. And they came back at us really strongly with the character in this team. The foundations that we talk about all the time, they were absolutely tremendous. And the cutting edge, the top 2 inches... That's as good as it's been all year.
Good. He sounds inspiring,
doesn't he?
Great send-off, because he's retiring now, isn't
yeah.
he? Ali
yeah.
Kellogg. So what a nice way for him to finish.
I've never heard him talk, you know.
You'd follow him into battle,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, he sounds like a proper leader.
Yeah, it was a hell of a performance as well by Glasgow. That first 30 minutes, they just completely blew Munster away. The Fijian second row, his offloading and his carrying.
They're ludicrous.
Yeah. Nakarawa.
Well, it's the thing. I mean, how as a coach do you put that into practice? I mean, how do you say, okay, our game plan evolves around these ridiculous offloads. You can't practice them. You can't train them. It must be incredibly hard to plan for that.
But they've also got, like, Stuart Hogg, his turn of pace.
Oh.
Exceptional. Finn Russell controlling the game really well. And DTH Van der Merwe who's going to Scarlets next season,
yeah,
isn't he?
Is signing for the Scarlets. Yeah,
yeah. It's
Glasgow.
Great. Every time I see him play, I think he's a really, really good one.
They're losing a few players, Glasgow, though, aren't they?
Exactly where I was going to go next, which is, does this basically now mean that all of Glasgow is for sale? Because I assume that they can't afford to keep them all, but I don't know.
Well, Maitland's going to London Irish.
That's one gone.
Yep.
DTH is going to Scarlets.
Got the scrum half going to Bath.
Yeah. Matawalu.
He doesn't really start. I think the
Ali Pellick's retiring.
Yeah,
I think they prefer Pygos actually.
If you look at that side, they've got some really good young players. I think like Hogg's 22.
Is that all Hogg?
Johnny Gray's 21.
Yeah,
and Finn Russell's 22.
Johnny Gray's
got
to be moving on, right?
Good Scottish players there. Who's going to be around for a long time?
Well, Strauss will be Scottish soon.
Yeah. <You know.
laughs> So it's very interesting because I always play a little game in my head, which is who can Leicester sign? Because if you listen to me talk about Leicester in the past, what they need is backs, and I think Stuart Hogg should be right on their radar.
Yeah,
I think Scott Williams should be right on their radar, and Finn Russell's got to be on pretty
everybody's
much,
radar.
Yeah,
Incredible indeed.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I would be very surprised if they can keep the heart of this team together. Oh, of course, and the legendary Ewan Murray is also retired.
Is he retired?
Yeah, he's done. He's gone.
Wow.
He's going to do missionary work in Africa.
He's retiring from all rugby. I thought it was just Scotland, is it?
Oh, maybe it's just Scotland then. Sorry. Have you got an anti-fact button there?
Fact.
From Bryn, not Jay.
Thank you.
Right. So well done to Glasgow, and that's the Pro 12 season finished. You watch a lot more Pro 12 than we do, Bruno. So as a competition, you must listen to the podcast and hear JB sticking the boot in. Has he got any sort of point?
I think he has, to be fair. I think the fact that he's playing most weeks in front of empty stadiums, it's just not... You look at they're so envious of the Aviva Premiership and the French leagues, you know, the packed out stadiums. Teams are going hammer and tong at each other. apologies.
What goes on in the dressing room after games is not our business.
Week in, week out, and then just some of the Pro 12. Like the games the last couple of weeks have been as good as you'll get anywhere. You know, last week, the Glasgow-Ulster game was an exceptional game. So too was the Munster-Ospreys. But you don't get that week in, week out, and it just...
Yeah, that's
when
it.
The internationals are on, and then when international teams are playing, so Ireland rest all their big players in the lead-up to big games, it just cheapens the competition a little bit.
Well,
I'm just going to say, the top of the competition, the top five teams are as good as anyone in the Premiership.
Not exactly. They'd be competitive. Well, I
mean, Leinster, who finished fifth, didn't qualify. Beat Bath, gave Toulon a good game. Glasgow hammered Bath early in the season.
Yeah, but then they got beaten by Bath. So, like I say, they're competitive, and they got beaten by Bath.
They're as good.
Yeah.
They're as good as any of the teams in the Premiership. Yeah. Absolutely are.
The Irish provinces are still ahead. I know Glasgow won it, but if you look at Ulster, Munster, Leinster, they could compete in any league.
Yeah.
Glasgow have shown they can do it, and the Ospreys, when they're on the game.
Here would be my problem with it, is too often when you look at the fixtures for the Pro 12, and I do mock it, because I just know who's going to win most of the time. I mean, you get the odd upset in Zebre. I think the Scarlets lose at Zebre?
Ulster lost this year, yeah.
I think you're doing a bit of a disservice there, because I don't think, if you looked at the squads, I don't think you'd pick Glasgow as the winners, necessarily.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have, definitely not.
And you can't say you can pick the results every week, but you couldn't really pick the champions, you know.
But do you not think that the final this year, I mean, Glasgow, well-deserved, but it's almost a bit predictable that Munster would get there. And this isn't a classic Munster team. I mean, this isn't one for the ages.
Leinster have had the upper hand over Munster over the last few years. And
that's exactly what I mean.
And Ulster as well. But Glasgow, they've built year on year. You know, Gregor Townsend's doing a good job there. Last year they were beating...
Future Leicester coach or future Scotland coach.
Future Scotland coach, hopefully. I mean,
You've got to say, you
know, they lost out last year to Leinster, and there's a progression to that, and then they've won this year. I wouldn't be surprised if the Ospreys get there next year, to be honest, because they seem to be building with quite a young squad.
Yeah.
Well, since we've currently got, and we're going to get onto the Premiership, the Championship, and what a final that was, what a second playoff match that was, and there's plenty more to talk about, Dylan Hartley, Johan Uge, but just since we've got two Welshmen, North Walians, or JB North would, Walians. Would say straight away.
I think Brennan's a full-on Welshman, but I'm just a North Walian.
We've got two Welshmen, we've got two Englishmen. In previous weeks, we've talked about the England squad loads, and we'll talk about that again in a little bit in relation to Hartley. But come on then, the Welsh squad's going to be announced. As we're recording this podcast, we don't know what it is. What do you expect to see?
Well, we have had a little sneak preview, actually.
Yeah, and an official, there's been something leaked today that we've had a look at. Two things that are a big thing to note is that, I don't know if you heard, Ross Moriarty is rumoured to be getting a call-up.
He's lost the back row.
I think he's
son of,
played two World Cups for England under 20s.
Has he?
Yeah.
Which, if he played that for Wales, he meant he wouldn't be able to then go and play for England senior side, because England have a second, they have the Saxons.
Yeah, Paul Moriarty's son, who I think he was born in England because he was moved up to play rugby league for Widnes, I believe. So he was born in England then. Grew up a lot in Swansea, but he's been picked, obviously, for England under-20s. Gatland's a shrewd operator.
Isn't he just?
You know, Thomas Francis has been doing a good job for Exeter, who've stood toe-to-toe with some big teams this year.
I mean, the Exeter scrum absolutely mullered the Northampton scrum, but then weirdly got...
Gloucester scrum.
Jury's still out on that.
Tom Francis is going to...
The bear.
Has he got any Welsh in him?
He's got a gran from somewhere in South Wales. I think he's Yorkshireman.
She visited somewhere in South Wales once. But he was born in York, went to school, college, University
of
Leeds.
He's going to have to change his Twitter profile, isn't he?
Depending on
his Twitter handle's like Donny Prop.
So it's something like that,
Prop
isn't it?
Prop Cymru or something.
depending on Samson Lee, though, if he does get capped and he does, you know... he does decide to play for Wales, he's got a realistic chance of starting in the World Cup, because he's going to go straight to the top of that pile if Sampson leaves.
Does that show how poor the depth of Welsh props is?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And that's across the board. I mean, the Jonathan Davis injury has led to Ben John getting called up, who's been doing a good job for the Ospreys. But
he got a couple of tries against...
You just notice the difference. I mean, there's a lot of people who won't have heard of Ben John. He's a good player, he's a good outside centre, but Jonathan Davis is a world-class operator, and then you're not bringing like for liking, whereas you look at England, you know, they can afford to lose, you know, players like Armitage, not even pick Armitage.
Well, do you know what I think?
Or Dylan Hartley, and then you
and
get...
And Manu
you know. take your pick of
I think the top
to
end,
in.
Yep. The top-end England players are not as... there's a bigger gap between the best Welsh players and then the backups. Whereas England, I think the backups are better, but the starters aren't quite as good. So it's not quite as noticeable when you change, you know, Brad Barrett for whoever it may
be. But you've got to say, and is this an issue for Wales as you go to a World Cup? I suppose, arguably, it is every time there's a World Cup there. If you get everyone fit and firing, you're a match for anyone. But a couple of injuries, a couple of suspensions or whatever, and you're scratching your head.
And exactly, I mean, it nicely tidies up to Lancaster's recent decisions of excluding world-class players. I mean, it just no one else in the world could possibly think of excluding three of their best players. But
Australia?
New Zealand do it.
Yeah.
What, because they don't play at home?
What New Zealand won't select anyone who doesn't play in New Zealand.
Yeah, but they all do play in New Zealand. That's the thing. I mean, who's outside of New Zealand who'd walk
not
into
necessarily.
Heyman?
Well,
Heyman would have done for the past few years. Rennie Ranger.
Nick Evans was playing for the Harlequins, arguably the second best fly-off in the world in 2011, and they ended up calling...
But it is different, isn't it?
Donald off a beach somewhere to play.
He's white bait fishing, wasn't he?
Yeah, it is different when you're literally... You couldn't get any further in the world away from where the rugby union is based. So if you're New Zealand Rugby Union and you're playing in France, you physically can't get further away. But when you play in France and your home base is an hour's flight, well, that makes no sense.
It does make sense when you look at the league. And we mentioned before the crowds in the Pro 12. There's an article in the Rugby Paper saying crowds in the Premiership are increasing year on year. 5% increase this year. They're growing the game. It's a more long-term approach, which you don't see, Jay.
No, I do see it. And I see it in Wales, because I see when we get rid of all the stars, I keep saying it over and over again, what happens? You replace them with more players. It's as much about opportunities as it is about anything else. I want Welsh fly-halves playing in English shirts and then Welsh fly-halves playing in Welsh shirts. That is fine.
All right, listen, we've touched on the Hartley thing and we will get into that in just a minute, but we should talk about the Premiership final then.
Yes.
Jacques Berger. You love the Borg. You love the Saracens Borg. You just love Bruce Craig and Mike Ford's mustard chinos.
I do love them. I think You just got to respect and enjoy what Saracens bring. But it wasn't that enjoyable when they were dismantling that that Bath team. It was hard to watch.
Because I was neutral going into the game. You were very much not neutral. I really enjoyed it because it was like pragmatic efficiency. Yeah. It was just simple game plan executed to perfection. It was so well executed. And they just didn't give Bath any space, any ball, any chance to get their offloading front foot game going.
Just got some music for the Borg while we talk about the Borg.
I just thought it was a masterclass of how to win a tight game like that.
Exactly,
it was a masterclass.
Right.
Last week they had so much joy, Bath running, you know, scoring tries with turnover ball from their own 22.
Yeah.
And then they just played into Saracens' hands. That getting that early try and sort of chasing the game, playing out of the 22, they were just pressurised so much and forced into errors, and then there just was no way. And it was just Saracens' machine just was in full.
Yeah, if you know your rugby, you will appreciate Saracens.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a real investment. It's like reading a novel or something. Yeah. You've got to get to the end to it.
Is there any argument that Bath bottled it?
No.
Because Saracens were very good, and we do appreciate what they did. Their defence was aggressive and they got up in their face. But did Bath bottle it at all?
I'm naive more than they bottled it.
Yeah, but didn't they? I mean, two of the tries were almost unfortunate. You know, there was the Jamie George one. Bloody hell.
I thought it was pressure led to those mistakes.
You force the mistakes, don't
Bath
you?
Bath have played that style of rugby all season and it hasn't got them into many trouble. Yep. Saracens squeezed the life out of them.
And for example, you know, Bath, it's been talked about loads in the last few months, Bath's little diamond formation that they do off George Ford off of a forward runner with George Ford as the back one in the diamond. But Saracens got up so fast into that they couldn't, they never got that going at all. And they looked, George Ford has never looked so under pressure and seemed to have little time on the ball.
Even under pressure, they still played some beautiful rugby. I mean, Ford had a few nice breaks. There's one phase of play where Bath made, I don't know, 20, 30 yards, and it was three or four offloads back-to-back to Bath.
Yeah, I don't think you're talking about the first half, though, are you?
No, second half, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this is it, because with both finals, the game was won at half-time.
Yeah.
Like Bath were however well they played in the second half, you're never going to chase that many points back down with Saracens. And Bryn, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Bath were just naive.
What would they do differently, though?
I don't try and run it out your 22. I think they were still in Leicester mode thinking, we can just cut this team
100%.
apart and we can attack from anywhere. And they just look like they were trying to attack from their own 22. You don't do that against Saracens.
And they haven't got huge big game experience. If you look at Saracens, they've been there, you know, they've earned their stripes over the last few years. They lost out narrowly, you know, last year to Northampton.
And we
mentioned it with Glasgow. Yeah. They lost out last year. Big game experience this year. You know, Bath are going to be around for a long time to come, you'd hope.
The young back line.
So let's see what happens next year.
Well, that's really interesting to say that, because we just mentioned Glasgow. And how do they keep that team together if they can't afford to keep that team together? Now, Bath can afford to keep this team together. But do you think, with all the allegations of salary cap and all the rest of it, that they will keep them together? Because these guys are going to be needed to be paid. As soon as they get to the next round of contract negotiations, which one of those backs is going to take the salary cap hit to stay there?
The salary cap is being increased, the marquee player thing's being expanded.
Well, you've got two marquee players, and none of these players are eligible for marquee player status.
None of the guys have got in there at the moment, but that then frees up a big chunk of salary cap.
So they're going to have to start getting rid of some players, aren't they?
Bruce Craig will find it. He'll find a way. Find a way.
I'm sure he's got some very, very capable accountants.
And they've added some good players to their squad as well, haven't they? You know, Priestland's come. He's going to be an able deputy to George Ford.
Yeah.
Matawala as well.
What do you think Priestland, just a thought experiment, what do you think Priestland does bring to this Bath team?
He's in a lot of ways, he plays similar to George Ford, so he plays flat, he's a brilliant distributor. Priestland is a very good player if he's got good players outside him. All he does is release players, and he's an excellent distributor, and he manages a game well. If he gets go forward ball, he's like in 2012, 2011 for Wales, he's a real class operator.
Well, of course, Henson will be available next year because Bristol didn't go up. So.
Do you know what I loved about this, the Premiership final, and what I love every time I watch Bath with JB is just JB's arbitrary love-ins that he has, like completely random love-ins. He just, it's almost like you're being contrary with it. You're sort of like, oh, Carl Ferns is on the bench. I love Carl Ferns.
Carl Ferns is a marvellous player. Where does no one see this?
He is.
Not believe me later. But,
I love listening to you going on about Carl Ferns, banners.
Hoops. banners. The banners one is just out of guilt that I got it so wrong.
I'm not sure he did get it so wrong.
I don't know.
But honestly, watching the final yesterday, the whole 60 minutes, as soon as Bath went points down, it was, get Carl Ferns on.
He's had a good carrying.
60 minutes that Carl Ferns came on, and he only had to run near the ball. Oh, you see the decoy run by Carl Ferns?
I tell you what, I thought he was one of the best back row on the field when he came on against Leicester. And I think, again, he did very well when he came on.
Do you know who I think was one of the best back rows on the field yesterday?
Let me have a guess.
Well, Billy Vunipola was excellent with his ball carrying all day.
Jack?
No. Well, Jack Berger was great in defence. He set the tone.
Jackson Ray is what he...
Jack Berger set the tone in the first 15 minutes with his defence.
Are you going to say Sam Burgess?
I'm going to say Sam Burgess.
Oh, come on!
No, I think he had his... outstanding.
I think he had his best game. I think he had his best game.
Yeah. He improves every game.
In a well-beaten team.
And if he was a rugby union player and hadn't been Sam Burgess, who's come over with big money move, if he'd just been a Bath squad player, we would have been going, God, he's put his hand up for England, hasn't he?
That
he's had a great game.
That is a career hit, isn't it?
To stop a man like that on the game line.
He had his feet planted. He wasn't running into it. Just feet planted and just bang.
Yeah.
That was a statement of intent. I thought Owen Farrell was... Yeah, I know he got man of the match, but he was outstanding, but it could have gone a lot differently. That first 10 minutes with that Anthony Watson.
Some interesting comments from Mike Ford, because said...
Before you go on with that, I have actually got I've got a replay of the tackle, Sam Burgess, on Billy Vunipola.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, where did you get that, Tim?
It's just a new little live mic. We got a microphone on the ref cam here. Wayne Barnes' ref cam. Sorry, go on, Mike Ford.
Well, Mike Ford, front page of the rugby paper this morning, saying that it should have been red. Very angry.
Right, let's go back to that. So it's 2 minutes into the game. Anthony Watson's doing his normal jinking little steps inside. Owen Farrell, right arm out, clocks him on the face. It's only when I've seen it from a different angle I realise Anthony Watson was out. Lights were out.
He had concussion protocol, failed concussion protocol, and didn't reemerge.
You see, as soon as Farrell's hand connects with his jaw, you see Watson is out.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. Me, Tim, and Phil all thought yellow, didn't we?
At the least. I thought penalty would be sufficient.
Penalty,
was clearly no intent. Owen Farrell made a point of going up to Anthony Watson after the game and saying sorry, and I didn't mean to, and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
But to rub salt into the wound, Owen Farrell was superb. Over for a try within 10 minutes of that, wasn't it? You know, when he should have been in the bin, in my opinion.
The problem is, you've got these two athletes, and one of them is exceptional in Anthony Watson. And I can only imagine how hard it is to time a hit on Watson, because he is so quick, he is so jinky. So, inevitably,
so that means Watson suggests Watson, you're too good and too jinky. You're just going to have to accept getting clocked around the face,
or slow down.
Yes. Well, it sounds ludicrous, but he must be incredibly hard to tackle. It must be very hard to time hits, and it's just a consequence of a physical game. It is a physical game.
It is, but it was a high tackle that caused an injury to Watson, so it should have been no intent. But it was a high tackle.
Something we've talked about a couple of weeks ago. One of the things the referees have to consider is the consequences of the act. Now, Wayne Barnes didn't even check with the TMO, despite the fact it came up on the big screen. The crowd reacted, and the TMO didn't actually say, Wayne, maybe you should have a look at. Look at that tackle. So you could argue the TMO missed it, the referee missed it, but we talked about on a previous podcast that the consequence of your actions is relevant to what the punishment should be.
Not
so much.
And losing your fullback when you've only got two backs on the bench as well is quite a big thing. And it didn't matter, because it didn't take the 80 minutes, so they didn't need to use all the backs, and that didn't have an effect on the game from a an attritional point of view. Yeah. But it did affect the game, because you're losing one of your best strike runners.
What affects the game more? Anthony Watson just being replaced? Or, to be 2 minutes in and have the Saracens playmaker carded for an unintentional act just doesn't seem necessary to me.
Saracens this season actually scored more points than the opposition when they've had men in the bin.
How do you know that?
There's a feature on it was on BT Sport a while ago.
You weirdo.
So I can't take credit for it. But
outstanding with a man in the bin. So it wouldn't have affected Saracens.
So are you saying they
They wouldn't necessarily have had the dominant start that they had?
I know when Farrell certainly wouldn't have scored a try.
Yes, they definitely wouldn't have scored a try.
Are you saying they should play with 14 men?
Well, no, they don't score more than they normally score, but they still score more than the opposition. If you take the average of the season, score more than the opposition.
If you could play with 14 men and bring on a power player every 10 minutes...
Well, just give Billy Vunipola a rest.
Well, they should go
10 minutes on, 10 minutes off.
Sign someone like Fanua, who is going to Leicester, and 10 minutes on. Fanua, bring him off, and we'll go back to our 14-man game plan.
Oh, it'd be like that old Irish footballer, or they do. I'm sure they do it with other, they did it with Ledley King as well. Just train when you want. Just say to Billy Vunipola or a Petit Fanua or players like that. Just whenever you want, just sit down on the pitch and just chill out.
I think they try and do that with Jacques Berger, but they just can't get him to stop.
Stop, Jacques!
Someone rest him.
Get him back in his cage.
Get the tranquilizer out.
We just talked about the Owen Farrell tackle incident, and people will have their different views. Mike Ford. I suppose you can't blame Mike Ford saying, I think it should be a red, but would that not have been something for tomorrow or the day after the game, not like post-match interview? It should have been a red card.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
you should congratulate Saracens for being as good as they were.
I suppose if he's asked and he gives an answer, that's fine. But what I was going to say was, let's focus on more positives. Who knew Jamie George could shift like that?
Oh, my God. Well, I suppose when your training partner day in, day out is Schalke Brits, you know, clearly Saracens value fast hookers. Yeah. And it must be part of their training regime.
But it doesn't make sense.
No.
If you were the World Anti-Doping Association or whatever,
you'd see that
video and go, there's something dodgy going on there. Look at him.
You would quarantine him, wouldn't you, and put him through tests for next month.
It doesn't make sense.
He broke the laws of physics.
Is it just his head is a bit fat and his body actually
no,
isn't?
No, he's definitely got a bit of a stomach.
No, his body is...
So imagine how fast he could be.
And is it me, or does he have slightly small arms in comparison to the rest of
his body? Oh, he's like a T-Rex, isn't he?
Yeah. T-Rex arms.
Yeah, they don't quite like reach all the way around his body.
Kind of reached about the spine of his props when he's hooking.
Me and Phil were talking about this in the pub yesterday after Jamie George's try. We did do a 15 in the past, which was like backs playing as forwards and forwards playing as backs. Basically, it was players who don't look like they should be in the position they're in, or should look like they should be in another position. Just Jamie George just doesn't look like he should be on a rugby pitch.
No.
or he should be on an amateur rugby pitch.
Yeah.
Good time for him to step up, though, with what's happened with Hartley this week. You know,
hell of a time.
Oh, yeah. Hartley.
Everything's coming up Jamie George at the moment.
It is, absolutely.
I mean, who's a better hooker than him at the moment? Who's on better form?
Well, that's not already in the squad.
Of everyone.
Better hookers.
Better form.
Yeah.
Webber didn't have his finest day yesterday.
No. Yeah.
Batty didn't have a great game.
Tom Young's been playing very well for Leicester.
To me... You're picking Tom Youngs and Jamie George. If it's just on form and everyone's available, those two.
I'd go for that as well.
I'd agree.
I think they're both.
Whether Lancaster does that because, of course, he doesn't like making controversial decisions. Who knows?
Let's talk about it then. Got the Crime Watch music up. Dylan Hartley. I mean, when Dylan Hartley sits back 50 years from now and he's with his grandkids or whatever, he's got them on his knee and they're going, tell us about the time you played for England, Grandad. He's going to be able to say, I played 50-odd caps for England, and that's amazing, and that's something that is,
you can't take
it
away.
You cannot take it away, and that's incredible. But he's also got to say, I missed out on a British and Irish Lions tour, and I missed out on a World Cup, because I was a bit of a bell end.
In playoff matches as well, big, big games, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, red card in a final.
In the final.
Headbutt in a semi. I mean,
10 years from now, he is going to... I wouldn't be surprised if there's... actual little bout of depression from this, because that's two of the pinnacles of your career.
Yeah,
that you just lost out on. That's got to hurt so much.
Yeah, it has got to hurt. I do think there's been a bit of a witch hunt around Hartley, and there's a lot of crying and pointing and shouting from all those with properties on Mount Pius. But he has been harshly treated, I think.
Do you really?
I really do.
I think if it was a one-off incident, it's obviously disproportionate. But given his rap sheet.
Do you know what I worry about? What the hell are After Dinner Speakers going to going to talk about in the future. If the RFU get their way and they produce this homogenous cookie cutter type player, which is what they want.
That's not at all.
Well, it is what they want because that's how they pick their coach.
If do you think they'd want that if they were with Noel and Watson on the wings? Cookie cutter rugby?
Personality wise, yes.
Rugby
is A, about all shapes and sizes, which is slowly disappearing because we're getting, well, because we're not professional. But also, it should be about all types of personality. You don't hear the afternoon speakers stand up and say, yeah, we had one guy, he was really sensible, and then start telling us stories about how sensible they were and how unaggressive they were on the field. Hartley is an aggressive player, he's abrasive, plays on the edge, and that's what makes Hartley Hartley.
So if you're Stuart Lancaster right now, you go, oh, Dylan, never mind, you're still in the squad. That's what you say now.
Well,
tomorrow.
Why doesn't Lancaster, just for once, stick by a player?
He does it all the time.
This is what you're always saying.
He never picks on form. He just sticks by players.
No, he doesn't. Okay, so this is the type of player that he would stick by. Someone who comes in, does a good job, bit boring. I'll give you an example.
I know what you're going to say. Yeah, Jonathan Joseph wouldn't have got a look in if it wasn't been
correct.
For if it wasn't been
correct.
For injuries.
Okay.
I know, yeah,
so he
okay.
sticks by the wrong players. Now, you know, unfortunately, Julian Surveyor decided to go and beat up a girlfriend or what have you. And that's pretty atrocious.
Just to be clear, we're not saying Julian Surveyor did that. It's just a hypothetical, right?
No, he actually did. He did.
Oh, right, okay.
That was a few years ago. There was a domestic violence incident.
Now, that is far worse than anything Dylan Hartley's done. It's far worse than Manu jumping off a ferry and being rude to police.
That was legendary, by the way. There's nothing bad about jumping off a ferry.
Well, yeah, but didn't he not get a suspension or
he got a slap on the wrist.
He got a caution by the police.
What do New Zealand do to Julian Surveyor? They make him cry on TV. That's enough. Go back to scoring tries. I mean, the people that love Dylan Hartley the most are the people that will scrum with him and play with him, because that's the kind of guy you want right in the middle of the scrum.
See, I don't think it is because...
But you don't scrummage.
No, he's not from a scrummaging point of view. His disciplinary issues now are so serious that he will lose you games. He lost Northampton the final. In the final a couple of years ago when he got sent off. In the autumn internationals, he got sin-binned against South Africa. Lost the game for us then. Like, it's to the point where he's too much of a liability just from his disciplinary point of view.
He threw an elbow, didn't he, at what's his face?
Matt Smith in December.
There's only one person that is responsible for where Dylan Hartley's at now, and that's Dylan Hartley. You know, he's had so many chances.
Lancaster stuck by him for so long.
Lancaster is all about the squad. The players pretty much dictate who I can pick, because if I pick Stefan, they're going to have a tantrum. And then as soon as one of them steps out of line, he just bins them off. So he did it with Danny Kerr.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Danny Kerr got a ban.
Yeah. Drink driving, was it?
Yeah, he was
drink driving as well. I was thinking about the first one when he started. Did he relieve himself on a statue or something?
Yeah, he had a few things and he got dropped for that, but he came back.
Who hasn't?
Who hasn't, exactly? Manu's been dropped now for his indiscretions.
This is the Bill theme tune, by the way, just in case anyone's wondering.
But Lancaster's trying to build discipline in the squad, isn't he? He's trying to set
like social discipline outside... outside of rugby.
What about the kids? Well, what do you reckon, Bryn, on this whole situation? You're clearly thinking that you're with Lancaster on this.
I am, to be fair, especially with Dylan Hartley, because not only is Dylan Hartley, in my opinion, replaceable, we've seen Jamie George step up to the plate, Tom Youngs, Webber.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
They're all very good players, so it's not like he's head and shoulders above everyone else.
Yeah.
And then the main point is, given his previous indiscretion, the main point for me is the fact that even if Lancaster stuck by him, he's not available until the second game of the World Cup, which is arguably the crucial game. I think it's England-Wales, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he's going to miss the first game, Fiji, and then he's coming straight in. No matter who you are, You can't get match fitness from training. Yeah. But why would he gamble with taking Dylan Hartley?
Yeah.
And not having him sharp.
But do you know what, right? Just say, for instance, you've got Dylan Hartley on the bench, because he won't start that second game, and your lineouts are going, they're a bit off. Now, I would say Dylan Hartley's percentages in the lineouts alone would mean, just bring him on. It doesn't matter
line-outs
if he's not...
won't be an issue for England come the World Cup.
Do you not think?
No, they're going to have 3 months together.
Yeah.
Tom Youngs, he's got good lineout percentages for Leicester.
Not as good as... Hartley, though, by some distance.
For Leicester, though, he's good.
Yeah, he's 90-plus percent throw. Leicester's set piece is outstanding.
It's going to be like a club pre-season, isn't it? They're going to know everything. Their moves, that is their one calls, of those, inside out. Hartley's obviously bright. He's playing with Laws and Wood. You know, he picks up the calls. That's great. Give Tom Youngs a bit of time, Jamie George. They're all going to be...
In the past, we've talked a load about rugby cliches that get wheeled out, and I think possibly the whole Tom Young's line-out thing is an outdated cliche.
Well, no, I'm not.
Everyone has bad days at the office, generally speaking. But he's not Dave Ward.
No, he's not Dave Ward.
He's much closer to Tom Young's Dylan Hartley.
That's kind of what I'm saying, though. I think that Tom Youngs will be absolutely fine. I agree with you. But like you say, we all have off days. And who do you want on the bench if it's not the most accurate line-out thrower which you've got in the entire country?
I think Bryn made the clearest point. I do think it is part of it. I think part of it is that the pressure cooker of a World Cup and big games when tiny margins and one player getting a yellow card and going in the bin is the difference between getting knocked out and going on. That's a potential cost. But I think even bigger than that is the fact, as Bryn said, you can't play in the warm-up games, Dylan. You can't play in the first game. You won't be match fit, possibly not for the Wales game. And then by which time you've got two hookers that have already got 80 or 160 minutes under their belt. He is a conservative coach generally, but I think he's actually weighing up the formula and going, Dylan Hartley's positives over here and then all those negatives over there. It doesn't add up.
All I'd say is there are some valid points you've made, but no other country has got this discussion of do we leave out some of our best players voluntary, and also shall we exclude others on disciplinary issues? I don't think Gatland would do it, and I don't think that Smith would do it. In fact, I don't think any other coach would do that.
Do you want to hear a bit what Stuart Lancaster said?
No, but go on.
You'd hope he will.
He was asked the question, he's only 29. Do you think he'll sort himself out?
Certainly my dealings with him as a player of the last 3 years, he's excellent in an awful lot of ways. But clearly, as I mentioned in the press release, emotional control and ability to make good decisions under pressure. And let's be fair, the white hot pressure of a World Cup will be that is a key quality in all players. And, he's let himself down in this big semi-final, and he's got to suffer the consequences. And unfortunately, the consequences are not just for him, obviously huge consequences for him, but also for the team as well, because, he was an important cog in the wheel.
Is Stuart Lancaster a teacher? I mean, that isn't a joke. I think he was at one stage.
Yeah,
you can always tell, can't you, by the way he talks about consequences and all the rest of it.
Does that not just sound like on the money, logical, rational?
Doesn't want to be making these decisions. It's not like he's like, "Ooh, I hope Hartley does something so I can kick him out of the squad." He doesn't want these scenarios. He wants all his players available, fit, and ready to go. These players are making these horrendous judgment, errors of judgment, and they're forcing his hand. He's got to stand up for what he believes is right, the ethos of the squad, what he's building towards. And, make no bones about it, England are going to have a good crack at the World Cup. And Lancaster can't undermine the squad and other players in the squad
I take immediate umbrage at that, because undermining the squad, that to me sounds like there's a little bit too much player power for a start. But I would just say, why does he have to be so clear-cut on everything immediately? He almost makes it so he has to enforce rules that he has to stick to. In Wales, they love to talk about Gatland's law. Gatland's law means Gatland does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and answers to no one.
The definition of having rules is that you stick to them. He's made his stance with regards
and
to discipline.
And he loves rules. I say it again. You go back to Gatland, and he just decides, well, you might play, you might not, I'll let you know.
He's not cutting off his nose to spite his face. He's actually saying, this is the right thing for us winning the World Cup. Keeping Dylan in would be the best thing for winning the World Cup.
I would argue that Gatland...
But I should do this.
He's actually going, I can't trust him. in the pressure cooker. I can't trust him, and that could lose us the World Cup.
And the fitness.
It was amazing,
the
though,
game.
Isn't it? Just over, you know, he should have a bit more of an overall view on Dylan Hartley than saying, oh, well, actually, he did something silly last week, so now I can't trust him. I'd have thought he'd have a bit more nuanced view from working with him for three, four years.
But also in the fact he's not going to be able to play, and even then he won't be match fit.
Yeah, absolutely. I would argue that Gatland has made more of a poor judgment by basically forcing Adam Jones's hand into retirement. You know, he's got Samson Lee, who's going to be starting. Adam Jones is definitely the best backup, other than possibly Thomas Francis, if he materialises.
Do you not think that was more of an ego thing on the part of Adam Jones?
No, I think Gatland treated him pretty shoddily, to be honest. He told him he wasn't going to make the Autumn Internationals because he hadn't had a pre-season. Fair enough. Get yourself fit. Get yourself playing for Cardiff. Yeah. You're back in for the Six Nations. No.
See, my understanding on that,
so he called his bluff. So the question is, as a Welshman, Jay, would you prefer Aaron Jarvis on the bench or Scott Andrews, or do you want Adam Jones? You want Adam Jones there every day of the week, but no one makes the
quite
point about
possibly,
Gatland.
But my understanding on the Jones case was not so much Gatland, but it was a case of central contracts. And the reason he did, and that all kind of spilled over.
That's contradicting you going Gatland does what he wants.
Well, he doesn't necessarily give out the contracts. I mean, he might give you a list of people that he wants to have contracts, but Adam Jones missed a pre-season because he couldn't sort out a contract. That basically is it.
Yeah, but Adam Jones
says, well, you now can't play.
In the Autumn Internationals, that wasn't the Six Nations, right? Because Adam Jones did extra training, but they said he was at a good level of fitness and he lost a few kgs.
Time, someone else is wearing your shirt.
Well, Aaron Jarvis.
Samson Lee.
Aaron Jarvis.
Samson Lee got injured first
Englishman
game against
Aaron
England,
Jarvis.
And we ended up with Aaron Jarvis, who had a tough time against Scotland. You know, Scott Andrews was the backup, where Adam Jones was just sat at home.
Yeah, but I would also argue that Gatland isn't excluding players that play in France because they play in France.
No, but what I'm saying is Gatland, in my opinion, made a bad call with Adam Jones. And I'm not saying Gatland's perfect.
We're
calling Stuart Lancaster to task over how he's dealt with Hartley, and you know, holding up Gatland like he never makes mistakes.
Lancaster's got able backups and other players that he can rely on who aren't that far much difference between Hartley. Wales have got Aaron Jarvis, Scott Andrews, and Gatland's just discarded someone who you can rely on and can trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not entirely sure you're making similar arguments here. Yeah, maybe Gatland did have an error of judgment regarding Jones. But I also think that Gatland would personally drive Stephen Armitage from Toulon to the Millennium Stadium to play. And he wouldn't make a rod for his own back by saying, oh, hang on, all these lads have gone to France. They can no longer play. That's it, full stop.
He did that with Dwayne Peel.
He did. Do you know why? Because it's Gatland's law and he does whatever he wants. So, Dwayne Peel, you'll be treated this way. Jamie Roberts will be treated that way. And we'll go from there.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's leave that one to one side. But let us know, as always, what you think at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. I've got a little bit of a quiz.
A
domestic finals quiz.
Ooh.
And we've got Big Brim Williams, the Barbarian, and RGC Stalwart. We've got JB and Phil as well. So you've got extra.
Thanks for introduction.
Actually, nice before we get into this, we're all wearing Canterbury stash.
Of course
obviously.
We are.
We'll kid it out in Canterbury.
Very good.
Phil, you've got an interesting Canterbury top on there.
I do. I've got it's an Edinburgh Northern rugby top with my initials on it that was given as a birthday present to me by one of my friends, CJ. Friend of the pod.
Lovely.
And underneath it, I've treated myself for my birthday to a little bit of...
Oh, are you going to strip off now? Come on then.
I am.
Let's see it. Headphones off.
Let's get this on Periscope, because in case you don't know, we're on Periscope live as well.
We're live on Periscope. So we're going to start doing the podcast also live on Periscope. So if you download that app to your phone and you can watch us do the podcast on Sunday afternoons. Go on then, Phil.
Oh, wow!
That's
amazing!
That is a gorgeous kit.
Nice.
Love the kit. Not only that, but...
That is exceptional.
For the purpose of people listening, not watching on Periscope
can
I
touch it?
Phil has just unveiled...
Can I have that?
A Russia shirt.
No chance. That is awesome.
That is a gorgeous rugby kit.
It's a lovely kit,
that might be
it?
My favourite international kit.
Yeah. We did mention this as one of the best ones.
Yeah. The Russian kit.
That's an old one, though, isn't it?
I think it might be an old one, but... It's lovely.
That is gorgeous. And he's got number 8 Zangief on the back.
I was debating whether to get Putin or Lenin or something like that.
Not Lenin.
Zangief was a...
Zangief, yeah, he's probably the most famous Russian.
The Street Fighter.
Pretty much.
That's excellent. Love it, Phil.
Nice little treat to myself for my birthday.
Do you want a score update on the England-Barbados game?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
It is 31-5, 30 minutes gone to England.
Wow.
Wow.
Taking them to the cleaners then.
Yeah.
Who's got the tries?
The last tweet I've read just off Bob Aaron FC is, another try at England rugby. Wade's faster than Usain Bolt on roller skates and we can't handle it.
I don't think Usain Bolt running 100 metres on roller skates would be that fast. I mean, it won't be controversial, but I don't think he would be. Wade is incredible.
Sounds like Wade and Yard are having a good day anyway.
All right then, quiz. So this is a few questions about the Aviva Premiership and Pro 12, and specifically about, well, about the leagues and about the finals. So, just a nice quick one then about the Pro 12. Glasgow won their first Pro 12 title. There are 12 teams, but there are three defunct sides. Can you name the three sides that now don't exist?
Have you got three? I've got two and a guess at the third.
I've got three, but I know who the third is. I don't actually have an answer. It's...
That makes no sense.
No, I know. I can see their kit. I can see their kit, and I know which country they're from.
Okay, right. Well, the two, you know, you've got them written down. I'm trusting you guys. So, Bryn, first one of your first answers.
Celtic Warriors, even.
Indeed.
Okay, you got that, JB?
I have got Celtic Warriors.
I haven't. No.
Okay.
You haven't?
No.
How do you not?
Celtic Warriors. So that's one each to JB and Bryn. JB, another one.
Border Reavers.
Correct.
Yeah.
I've written Scottish Borders.
Yeah. Well, it's Border Reavers,
borders,
mate. So.
Yeah, we'll take Borders. Borders. We'll take Borders. I would have accepted Borders alone.
Yeah.
So that's fine. So two and one to Phil. Third team, anyone got the other one?
It's an Italian team.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
They wore...
Phil obviously hasn't. I'm looking at his face.
I've got written down Aeroni.
Oh, nice.
Phil!
It is Aeroni.
Outstanding. Two apiece then. Two apiece.
I got that wrong. I wrote Treviso because I know they're still going. Yeah.
They're in yellow and black.
Definitely not Zebra.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so angry. I should have got Aeroni.
Knowledge.
Two apiece after the first round. Right, so there have been 15 years of Premiership winners, but since the playoffs came in, there have been 15 Premiership winners. How many years out of those 15 has there been... Just a number.
Just a number.
How many years out of those 15 have the team that won the Premiership final also finished top in regular season?
Wow.
Okay.
Just a straight yes, no, basically.
Yeah.
Just a guess.
Just a number. Just a number. Okay. What have you got, Bryn?
I've said 8.
I've gone for 8 as well.
I've gone for 8 as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You're all... A mile off. It's three.
Only three.
Oh. Three.
I was thinking the home advantage would be a big thing.
I wondered if it was too low.
Leicester.
So Leicester in the very first playoff season,
Leicester,
2001.
Quinns and Northampton.
Leicester, Quinns and Leicester.
Oh, Leicester again.
Leicester in 2010, Quinns in 2012. So it's a really rare thing for the team that finishes top in regular season to go on and win it. And finally then, so you're all on two, so really, this is it. All right, so the Aviva Premiership final has been won 15 times now.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to apportion the wins to the clubs.
Okay.
And you'll get a point for each correctly awarded title. Up to a maximum of 15. And whoever gets the top score is going to be...
I'm only on 13 at the moment.
I think I'm pretty close to this, you know?
I'm not.
It looks like it's going to be another convincing win for Beardmore.
another convincing win.
Yeah. Reigning champion at the moment, aren't you?
That's right. I'm on a roll. Yeah, I think I'm pretty confident with what I've got here.
Have you distributed your 15, Phil?
I have, but I've just put a big lump on one because I didn't know where.
Bruno?
Have
you done yours? All right, then. So...
Do you always go first?
Well, yes, Jay.
Yeah, go through. Say the team, and then, because I'm sure there'll be some crossover. So go on, Jay.
So, I've got 6 teams.
Okay.
So, Quinns with 1.
I also have Quinns with 1.
I've got Quinns 2.
Quinns have won it once.
Yes. Get in Beardmore.
So, we all get 1 point, but he's lost one of
but
his
he's
available.
He's lost one of his available.
Yeah. Right. I get you now, Tim.
Okay.
My score game was meant to be too complex, apparently.
Phil, pick another team.
I've gone for Sale with 1.
I too have Sale with 1.
I have Sale with 1.
All correct. So another point each of you. Next, Bryn.
I've got Newcastle with 1.
I have Newcastle with 1, but was it...
Newcastle have got 0 because it's not playoffs.
That was pre-playoffs.
Oh,
really?
What a bunch of idiots.
15 years ago, I suppose. That
That was more than that.
This was 1997.
That was nine. Yeah, that was more. It's only since 2000.
Wilco was playing then, though, wasn't he?
No, maybe the year after. Rob Andrew won that.
Wilco was playing when he was on the bench and coming on. It was like the changing of the guard, Rob Andrew and Wilco.
But yeah, it's not that long ago, is it?
No.
Canter, really.
Oh, dear me. Go on then, JB. Next team.
Northampton with one.
Yeah, I've got Northampton with one.
I've got Northampton two.
What?
Northampton Saints have won it once.
Once.
No, Bearden was killing it.
Right, next team then, Phil.
I've gone for Saracens with two.
Yeah, I've gone Saracens two.
I've got Saracens two.
Correct. Saracens have won it twice. Next up, Bryn, another team.
I've got Gloucester one, but I don't think
incorrect. Right. They lost in the final to a Leicester team comprised of...
So Leicester have won a lot.
Tuolangi on one wing and Rubeni on the other one. And the next season, to counter them, they bought two players who were Carl Price and Vianicolo, and they did horribly.
Yeah.
I didn't have Gloucester. Do you, Jay?
No, I certainly
do not. They're not winning early on, though. Gloucester.
Tim, did Gloucester ever win it?
Gloucester won it once.
No! No, they did
good
not!
Chat from JB.
No chance!
Carry on. JB, go on.
Wasps with three.
I've gone Wasps with two.
I've got Wasps three.
Wasps won it four times.
Oh no!
2003, 4, 5, and 8.
Right.
3, 4, 5.
3, 4,
5.
Wow.
That's the Dallaglio era, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Are we just looking for one more team?
Yeah.
Who would that be?
Which is Leicester.
Yeah.
I had down six, which is obviously way too many. Well, I added up to the 15.
I said seven.
Leicester won it five times.
How many points does everyone have?
So let me just recap so you can score your own. Northampton Saints have won it once.
Yeah.
Quins have won it once. Sale have won it once.
Yeah, got all them.
Sarries have won it twice.
Got that.
Wasps have won it four times. Leicester have won it...
five times. Play my winning music! Play it!
So you got 13 out of 15.
Get in, Beardmore.
I got 12, I think. I've got 12 points down there.
I've got about 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Oh, I've added up 13.
No, that's fine.
So I got Wasps, three for Wasps,
yeah.
Four for Leicester, one for Quins, one for Sale.
You got Gloucester as well.
One for Northampton and two for Saracen, so that makes 13.
Oh, yeah. We got a tie!
No, no, we haven't! No,
we've got a tie!
No, we haven't on this basis.
On what basis?
This is outrageous!
A tie! A happy tie.
I'm happy with a tie.
This is not a tie! JB should win! Look, it says it here! It says right here! There it is, on Periscope.
Oh.
I'm the people's champion, at least.
Playoff.
Draw. It's a draw.
I win that.
Everyone draws.
Everyone knows that I win that. The people will have their say.
Just say
JB.
Just say
now.
Oh, that's fair enough. I agree with that.
Very good, Tim quiz. Tim quiz. Quiz, Tim, whatever. I'm not saying it.
I'm editing that straight after. Oh, I don't know. Right, what have we still got to talk about then?
Championship final.
Oh my god.
The best game in the history of the world in any sport ever.
Yeah. Wow. You might not be far off there.
It was incredible.
Oh, what a game. What a finish.
It kind of does it a bit of an injustice.
It was an incredible battle.
It's a shame too. Can't get promoted on the basis of that, really, because both of those teams are worthy of the Premiership, aren't they?
Yeah. And 160 minutes. And one point separates them. 58-59 did it finish.
I think if it comes within like 5 points or one score, they should play a third game in a neutral venue.
Just keep playing. I just want to see that, that over and over again.
In fact, let's just have a league. Just Worcester and Bristol. Like Premiership B. Just the two of them play every week.
Oh, great atmospheres.
Two
phenomenal games. Not great for Wales B. Admittedly.
Bristol.
What do you think Bristol are going to do next? I mean, they can't just carry on signing the players at the same rate they're signing them, can they?
It depends if they've got any clauses in their contract. They'll continue to build a strong squad. They should win that league at Canter next year. They might not, because it came unstuck against a few people, but what else can they do other than...
Worcester going up is good for Bristol. I can't see anyone standing in the way.
Yeah, London Welsh. Yeah. They've not made their signings yet, but they've got so much cash in the bank.
They've made a load of signings.
They have made quite a few.
Tons
signings.
Of them.
Yeah.
What are they on now? Have they got anyone really notable? Did Dan Leo sign for them the other day?
Yeah he did, but mediocre signing.
Another journeyman.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's
picking up the cash.
He was always going to be like the next big thing, but never quite made it, didn't he?
Yeah, he was at Wasps.
He went to Wasps, he was like the utility back row, second row.
That's right. Yeah,
he was Wasps Steve Maffey. basically. Who incidentally is doing well down in the Super
the force,
Rugby.
Yeah.
Tom Vandell will be gutted though because he's signed and like he could be the Premiership's all time scorer and he's going to have
He's still got time to do it. He's only about six or seven off Quaito at the moment.
I was going to say, Mark Quaito's loving the fact that Bristol didn't get promoted, isn't he?
Mark Quaito's probably paying half his wage in Bristol.
I did read something, an interview with Vandell that said he wants to go and play in France, but he wants to break the Premiership try scoring record before he goes to France. So going to Bristol's a bit of a gamble to do that.
He was looking at it thinking, when Bristol come up to the Premiership, Gavin put me in space. I'm not going to stop scoring.
Yeah.
And then when Gav goes down in the first part of the final, Tom Vandell just breaks down into tears.
Well, how do you? Well, firstly, I called Worcester getting promoted at the very start of the season, and I like what Dean Ryan's got going on there in Worcester. Lots of good young players. And
Can Dean Ryan just start dressing a little bit smarter for playoff games?
He should have done, shouldn't he?
Yeah. I mean, we had a tweet saying, is Dean Ryan's post-match team talk shouting at ducks in a park? Because he basically dressed like a Trump. He didn't bother shaving.
He's really dishevelled look, didn't he? Yeah. He hasn't shaved or anything. Yeah, I know. Mike Ford's the market leader in sharpness as a coach, isn't he?
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he does fasten his jacket buttons up correctly.
Yeah.
From the promotional
How did that happen?
Yeah, God knows. Just going back to the game, it was both games were brilliant. Like attacking rugby from both teams. You said it last week, Jay. It looked like two teams who haven't had to defend for a year.
Yeah, exactly right.
But the finish, like to come from 14 points down or 13 points down to it at the last 5 minutes to score those two tries.
How many Worcester fans do you reckon left thinking?
I texted one of my friends saying I'm so glad Bristol are coming up because of the Welsh players will get a crack in the Premiership, and then like 12 minutes later they were out. It was heartbreaking for them.
I think I was watching it with you, wasn't I, Phil?
You were.
And we were watching it on delay because I was late coming home from work. And we're watching Bristol build a significant lead and I'm thinking this is over. But in the meantime, my phone and our Twitter account, Egg Chasers, is going crazy.
Yeah, which we're ignoring during the game.
We're ignoring, but we know something's happening, right? So when Bristol go ahead, I'm like, Phil, this isn't over yet. And it's 8 minutes to go or 7 minutes to go, and Worcester turned it around. It was unreal. Yeah. Absolutely unreal.
And so exciting, wasn't it?
Bristol just threw it away. Think about it. I mean,
those two yellow cards at the end, the Dwayne Peele yellow card was so needless in the last few minutes.
Yeah, he played well other than that, didn't he, Dwayne Peele?
Yeah, really well. Controlled the game really well.
No, it's
Six Ways is a good stadium, though, isn't it? It was rocking.
Six Ways. Yeah. Well, so is the new Ashton Gate. Well, yeah, the old Ashton Gate, the refurbished
one. They were both great games.
Yeah.
They'll really rue that try that they scored in the first leg, right at the death.
Do you know what,
Bristol conceding that. That was...
Yeah.
That was big, wasn't it?
I think bringing up two teams, having an odd number of teams, like it sounds stupid, because obviously one team isn't playing each week, isn't actually a bad idea. Because it means one team every week can have a bye week or a rest week.
You love your NFL formats, don't you?
Yeah, but I think it'd be really helpful for that team just to rest all the lads, tell them to go away for a week or whatever they do.
There would be issues with timing of the rest week. It's not creating a level playing field.
Yeah, so you don't want an early one, but it's just random.
But you don't want to get Saracens off the back of their rest week, that kind of thing, when they've been doing a team building thing. Well, maybe you do.
Yeah, you do.
Team building thing at Oktoberfest.
Yeah. That's exactly when you want to see Saracens.
Team building in Amsterdam.
I'll tell you a hell of a player. I think he's going to Leicester, isn't he? Mike Williams, the Worcester blindside. He puts his body about.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Ah, right.
But that Mitch Edie that we mentioned last week.
Looks
quality. Just picking the right lines, athletic runner, runner.
A lot of Premiership ready players or Premiership standard players right now. So they should. Yeah. They'll obviously be a lot more competitive than London Welsh. Do you think Worcester will bridge the gap though to Newcastle and London Irish? And
No, not immediately. They'll be a damn sight better than London Welsh, but I think they're going to struggle.
Your Broughton Park team would probably do a damn sight better than London Welsh.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
with JB coaching, it would be.
Exactly. Coach Beardmore. Hey, if anyone's in the Manchester area and is a really good player and wants to get coached by me, please come down to Broughton Park. That would be wonderful. If you're getting paid for the ironically named Sale Amateurs or something like that, come and play for me and Phil.
Not me, Jay.
You're a rugby consultant.
Did anyone see the game on Thursday? Games every day this week.
Thursday? You played on Thursday?
Irish versus the Barbarians.
No, I didn't.
I watched the second half.
Barbarians beat Ireland. Quite a good game.
Yeah.
Was it Ireland?
Not the usual Barbarians stuff. It was not as kind of
free-flowing attacking.
They kicked for points as well, didn't they?
I think Barbarians suffer when they don't have their full-strength second row out, if you know what I'm saying.
The big handsome one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Likely to go and play against an international team soon, Bryn? The Barbarians going to get another call?
what's it like playing for them? What's the Barbarians like, Bryn?
Oh, it was just an absolute honour for me. I only played about 12 minutes, but it was.
No, like the whole build up. What'd you do? And what's the check? Because was the Honey Badger around in amongst
no,
the squad?
No, he'd gone home that week, so we were down in Bath. It was just really well looked after, and just everything you'd imagine it and more. Really,
is getting
a bag of stash. There's just no better feeling in the world than that.
That
no
big bag of stash.
Yeah,
Barbarian's time must be pretty
that's
good.
Got pride of place.
What socks did you wear? RGC socks?
One of each, Colwyn Bay and an RGC sock.
Oh, nice.
Not Lancaster University?
No,
that's Cat socks.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. That game, is it fully amateur? Is it, as in, not amateur rules, but you don't get paid for it, do you?
No.
Yeah,
I'm assuming they're all amateurs.
It's the honour.
It's the invitational. Getting picked, isn't it?
Did you have a few beers with them afterwards as well?
Yeah, we had a free bar at the hotel. It was
awesome.
Brilliant.
I can't imagine a better networking club. Outside of Freemasonry, right? Barbarians must be the best way to network.
Oh, I tell you, I was at the RAC club in Pall Mall a few weeks ago.
You live the life.
That is a hell of a place to network.
You live the life.
What were you doing there?
Just
networking.
Networking.
Were you taken there, or did you just go there off your own back?
It's meeting up with a friend's dad, who's
connected.
Very interesting guy. Yes, very interesting guy.
Indeed.
Is it? I feel like interesting is a euphemism there, but I'll ask about that. I'll ask about that another time. Very wealthy, very connected. All right, fine. You mentioned second rows and legends and stuff, and we've got Bryn Williams here, Barbarian Bryn Williams, but also Paul O'Connell. Word is he's going to Toulon.
Yeah, we've just had someone on Periscope mention that, as if it's official in some way. Yeah, but yeah, it sounds. Is Ali Williams going?
They mentioned it on the commentary yesterday.
They
mentioned that he's going to Toulon.
Oh, it's so confirmed he's going.
Ali Williams and Backy's both for retire, and they bring in O'Connell.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Who else will they get? Probably
Alan Wynn's on their list.
Well, they've got Sammy Minora as well.
It's almost like a Hall of Fame. It's part of the.
It's a rite of passage.
It's a rite of passage for the Hall of Fame.
We just spoke about the Barbarians. Is Toulon the real Barbarians?
Yeah, maybe.
This is my plan, and I might have said it before, but I love this plan, and it will stop all the politicking and being moronic decisions coming out of England in one foul swoop, which is you pick your World Cup squad in the same time frame as you do now, and you've got let's call 45 players to pick from, and that's it. That is your lot. After which, the Barbarians get to pick their 45 from around the world, and then they enter the World Cup.
Yeah, they're the 20th team in the World Cup.
Yeah, that would be my plan.
What would be good about that is if your team gets knocked out, you've got another team you can root for.
Yeah, everyone's got a B team.
It's like Exeter Chiefs in the Premiership, but in the World Cup.
Exactly. So when you say, oh, we don't think Stefan's that good. Oh, but that's because Stefan's not playing. If Stefan is going to be in your group, you would pick him immediately.
It would change the dynamic a little bit.
Oh, absolutely, it would.
Did anyone see the other game? The game on Friday, the barrage, the Parisian derby.
No.
Yes, I saw it.
Yeah, Stade Francais versus Racing. Stade Francais took Racing to the cleaners.
They did. It was a very limp exit for Sexton. Did Roberts even play?
He came off the bench. He scored a try.
Did he?
Yeah.
We need to talk about something else that's happened in France. I completely forgot to mention this earlier. So we know Dylan Hartley is missed out on a World Cup. I think Johan Uge might be joining him in front of the telly during the World Cup.
What, together?
The French winger. Yeah, they'll sit and
World Cup parties.
They'll sit and cry together, hug each other, because Johan Uge was playing in the top 14 and did. I mean, I haven't seen a stamp as bad as this, possibly ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think I have.
Do you want to just watch it again?
Okay.
Not really.
Look, just if you can stomach it.
God.
It's so far away from the breakdown, there's no excuse. He can't even say.
Yeah, it's a downwards force as well.
Yeah.
That guy's on his own, 5 yards from the breakdown.
I love letting the boys play.
Yeah. But
there's a clear line. When you can see something intentional, I think fisticuffs is fine. You square up, you duke it out, fine. But that is cowardly.
I mean,
clearly
the guy's holding his foot on the floor, but he's got up and just the force that he's put everything into that.
No one who's played rugby likes to see that.
No, it's horrible.
Because, you know,
there's a couple of things I can't understand.
Gouging
is unacceptable. Completely banned for life, unacceptable. And stamping on extremities is unacceptable. If it's on his chest or something like that, carry on.
Usually, and diving, he's got two of the three now.
Have you ever seen his Wikipedia page has been changed to say, like, rugby player, actress, Olympic diver, deep sea diver. It's probably been changed back now, but it has at various times.
Yeah, he's a bit... It's weird to see an outside back be so aggressive, actually.
French, though.
He's
still a devilishly handsome fella, isn't he?
Yeah, and he also excretes some sort of slippery solution from his you just can't get hold of it. It's like trying to catch an eel.
Well, he's going to be missing the World Cup. Listen, there's loads we've talked about and there's much more we could have gone into, but this is where you come in, so keep it going at Rugby Podcast over the next week and all through the off season. We're still going to be talking rugby, right?
We can do it every week, I think, are we not?
We've got so many things we can really get off. There's been what happens in the season is there's things we want to talk more about, and we think we'll save that for the off season because, mainly it's JB wanting to talk about Richard Cockerell at Leicester.
It's got to go.
Save it.
And also, if you're interested, I will be doing this until Tim bans me from doing it.
What Periscope?
Doing some Periscopes every now and again, or just on a topic which I deem necessary. So last week it was sacking Richard Cockerell. Probably this week will be sacking Stuart Lancaster. So stay tuned for them.
At Rugby Podcast, there. Nice one. Well, lovely to have you, Bryn Williams. Anytime you're
Thank
over
you
in Manchester,
much.
Get on in. Phil, nice one.
Cheers, Tim.
That is an incredible Canterbury Russia shirt, by the way.
Thank you.
Incredible.
Thank you.
We'll have to tweet a picture of that. And JB, nice one.
Thank you, Tim.
See you next time.
Bye bye.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.